Encountering Jesus today, or a resistance movement is needed. You might think, whoa, how in the world does encountering Jesus today go with a resistance movement is needed? Well, hopefully we'll be able to find out that information before we leave here this morning. Father God, you are just so good and neat and just wonderful. How you reveal yourself in so many different ways to us, to encourage us, to help us. Even when things appear to be bleak or going in a direction we'd rather not have them go, you still have a way to communicate to us, to speak to us, to encourage us along the way or in the journey. And so we thank you, Father, that once again, we're looking at a wonderful new year, and we are expecting, I'm expecting, for my brothers and sisters, a greater tangibility of yourself, a greater knowing you, Lord God, not just about you. Yes, we do need to know about who you are. We do need to know about your person. A lot of people want to know about the power or the display of yourself. But the P that's missing in the center is presence. We've learned a lot about who you are, and we've learned a lot about your personage, Lord God. We've learned a lot about the display of your power. We read it all throughout the scriptures. We've even seen it, Lord God, manifest in our lives and through our lives to others. But yet, Lord, there's still a small disconnect within people's lives about the reality of your presence within the believer's life. Father, I pray that you are having your children come to a greater awareness of your presence within them so that we can have an understanding, a greater understanding of a verse like 1 John 4:4, where it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, speaking about anything that doesn't represent Jesus, that is not of Jesus, that because what it goes on to say, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because this is the reason why we're able to overcome that which is false. Because greater is he, speaking of the one who is truth, who is reality, who is righteous, who is just, who is pure, who is sinless. Because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. So we thank you, Father. I thank you for a greater abiding of us, Lord God, in you and the reality of your abiding within us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would just like to begin this morning in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter, I think it's 47. Ezekiel 47, about a river, about a flow that comes from God, about an outlet, we could say, of God, about something that proceeds from God to us as his people and through us as his people. And it's referred to here as a river. And I'll begin with verse 1, and I'm going to probably take it down to verse 9 and then jump over to Revelation 22, and then hopefully in Psalm 46. We'll see. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, from the front of the temple faced east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south to the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out from the right side. Then when the man went out to the east with a line, you could say like a measuring stick or a tape measure in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 feet. 1,000, in other words, another 1,000 feet out from there. And brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. and measured out 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water measured up to my waist. And he measured again 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Any of you ever gone out here to the Gulf or in any body of water, and you when you first get in, you know it's a safe level? and you stay in that safe level. How many of you here don't like a lot of water around you? You know, there's some people that are afraid of the water, and they just, okay, I don't mind the ankle-deep water. I don't mind the knee-deep water. I can even handle waist-deep water. And have you ever gone out, you just keep going out, you know, a foot or so, 5 feet, 10 feet. Have you ever got to a place where it just drops off? And then all of a sudden, you take that other step, and you're just down. And like, whoa! And if there's a current there, you could actually get pulled out. How many of you have ever got caught in a current and all of a sudden where you went in the water, you don't even realize that you're swimming out there, or those of you who like to swim in the deep water, and you look up like, oh, I went in the water over there, now I'm way down here. So there is a place that we can get where it's a place where we live, not just live, but we don't have a stability of our own self. We are in a place, when it's only ankle deep, you have most of the control. When it's knee deep, you still have most of the control. When it's waist deep, it's you and God are in control. There's sometimes you're in control where God's in control. But when it's a place where you can swim, you only have to swim. I like to call that the life of faith. I like to call that a place of complete dependence upon God. A place of where actually you're just becoming one with that flow. You're just becoming one with God. And you're just, wherever God is wanting to take you, you're able to go. Wherever God is wanting to do within your life or somebody else's life, you're able just to follow him. You are so one in that water that you must go with the flow. There are a lot of people who get caught up in the riptides. And if they get caught up in riptides and they start going against the flow, they can actually wear themselves out and drown. And it says that you're supposed to just go with the flow, and you're just supposed to swim parallel to the coastline until you feel the pull not there, and then you can start swimming in to shore when the pull isn't there. If you're in that pull, you can go against it all you want, and you're just going to wear yourself out. And you'll end up sinking and more than likely end up drowning unless somebody comes. So we are learning here that there's a river that proceeds from the throne of God, and it says there's a place where we're still in control. We're letting a little bit go. We're 50-50, I'm trusting God, but not. Then all of a sudden, you know what, Lord? There's a truth that you've been revealing to me and a truth that I want to grab hold on to. And I believe that you're making this truth or this promise made known to me. And I don't want it to be anything of myself. I don't want it to be carnal. I don't want it to be of my own doings. I really believe that you're wanting me to let go of myself and trust you. See, there's a place that God wants to bring us in his word or in his promises to where we're completely trusting him in the journey. We're trusting him in the flow, okay? How many of you know that sometimes when difficult things come into a person's life, it's hard to trust him in that? But at times, when it's difficult is when you need to trust him more. When things are tough, you need to trust him more. When you find yourself at times swimming against the current of God's word, sometimes you find yourself swimming against the direction that God would have you go because of the way that you feel. And at times when we're walking in the Spirit, it's completely opposite to that which we're used to, or our carnal ways, or an earthly way, or something that, well, I used to do it like this, and I'm really having a hard time grasping the way that God wants me to do it. So isn't it opposite of the flesh? And you know, when you read the whole story of Galatians. They started out in the faith. They started out right, but somebody else came and says, no, we need to tweak this, and you need to start doing things to add to your salvation or to make sure that you're completely saved. So somebody else tries to come in and get them to go against grain, to get them to go against faith, to get them to go against the full and finished work of Jesus. You need to add to it, or you need to do something, or you need to strive, you need to work at something. And as they began doing it, they all began to sink. until Paul had to come up with a letter to them saying, this is how you started. This was introduced. He says, have you begun in the faith? Are you going to end up in the flesh? And he was just, you know, there's just a question that he was asking them. You started out in faith. Are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? Are we going to be made perfect when we strive against what God wants to do within our life? How many of you know that even very painful experiences, even when you don't know where it's heading, you don't know, let's say something's happened in your life and you don't quite know where that's heading, can you still have faith and trust God? We should. We should all have faith and trust God, even when we don't clearly see where it's taking us, but we can clearly see a word from God. We can clearly see a promise from God that may even speak contrary of the present condition you may find yourself in. And when you grab hold, when God reveals that to you and you're able to grab hold of it, then you're able to go in the flow, even though your body or your mind or your flesh may be speaking otherwise. What are you doing? Seems you're getting further away from safety. You're getting further away. It's wanting you to look at the natural and not look at the one where the throne, the water proceeded, the truth of God proceeded, and where he wants to take us. This is one of the journeys I've been on. It's this spring will be 10 years on this one journey I've been on. And I have learned a passage of Scripture, not always. My wife would be the first one to tell you that I don't always do it perfectly, but I'm being perfected in the working out of it, okay? I'm learning to count it all joy. Did you hear what I'm saying? Learning to count it all joy. It's not always joyful, but I'm learning to count it all joy. Or this past spring, most of you know that I had a stack of fertilizer bags in the garage, and I went in there one evening, and the light was off, and I forgot all about the fertilizer bags, and there I went flying through the air, you know, with the greatest of ease, and landed on my shoulder and my head on the side, and had an MRI done, and got all this negative report about the misfunction of this arm, and maybe never probably coming back to full strength, and a herniated disc, and a perforated disc, and all these things that they were saying. And, you know, you sit back and you hear everything that they say, and you probably saw me for a while there holding my arm, you know, trying. I always tried to keep it in my pocket so people wouldn't notice it. So I just talked to people and wouldn't let them know what was going on. Sometimes we don't hide things very well, do we? But the neat part was I still had a promise of God that he's in charge of my disc. He's in charge of my spine. He's in charge of my pain. Jesus bore it. He understands it, and God's got an answer and a solution for it. Okay? I'm using my arm, okay? Now, just to give you an example, what happens? I'm going in the flow. I'm following what God wants. I'm trusting him. I'm standing on his promises, as we're all doing, right? Aren't we all doing? But what happens when you're doing something? I'll give you an example. Being up on a ladder, and then all of a sudden you're up on the ladder doing something, and you lose both of the use of both arms. What do? You can't grab a rung of a ladder because your hands, you just feel completely helpless. What do? I straddled myself over the top of that ladder, and I just sat down, and I just began talking to God. I said, this is a funny place. If somebody walks in here and just sees me straddling the top of this ladder talking to you, I'll just guess, I'm taking a break. I'm trusting God. And just begin to dialogue with the Lord about the situation and just remind myself of who he is and remind myself of his presence within my life and that there's nothing too difficult for God. Even at that very moment when I need an ability that my own body does not have at that moment, and to trust God for an ability to come into my life at that moment and to supply me what I need for that moment, and to begin to worship him, begin to praise him, begin to recount his blessings in my life, begin to recount what the Word of God has to say, even though nothing has changed. And I'll say within a half an hour, I don't think it was over half an hour, I was able to get down from the ladder, get down and rest for a little bit. I said, I've got a job to do. You're going to help me get this job done. Let's get back to work. Boom, let's go. And that's the way that God's built me. God understands that. He probably had to dish out a little bit more grace there, but he dished it out and things got done. Amen? But I refuse to acquiesce to it. I refuse to lay down to it. That's why I said there's a resistance movement is needed. A resistance movement. Because at the times when these things happen, let's say something malfunctions in your body, something malfunctions in your life, something malfunctions in your car, something just malfunctions, are there not at times thoughts that come in that aren't normally there? And we could, are they thoughts of God? Or we could say, if we had two thought lines to choose, are they thoughts of God or thoughts of the devil? In other words, when I say of the devil, I'm not saying it's the devil himself coming to you, Mark. I'm just saying that there are ways in my past that I had learned the ways of the world or learned the ways of thinking that were not the thinking of God. And so there were patterns of my life, or maybe even patterns in your life, when certain things happened that we were trained not by God. We were trained by this world, or we could say the God of this world. We had training from the God of this world, so we can say it is the devil because it wasn't training from God. And we have to be renewed in that. And so I have to be able to go to the Word of God, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Keep your hand there. We'll come back to Ezekiel 47 sometime before we end today. In 1 Peter chapter 5, probably need a submission movement and a resistance movement. How about that? I think in James it says submit to God, then resist the devil. But over here in 1 Peter chapter 5, it talks about when we have a care, when we have a concern, casting all your care, verse 7, when there's something taking place within us that creates a stress, an anxiety, something within us that has come to a level where there's a worry that we have, something that is coming to mind that are your peace has been shaken because of a present situation that has happened. It says, casting what? Casting all your care, all your worry, all your anxiety. It even talks here about distractings or distractions from the place of peace. Any of you ever get distracted from the place of peace? You're at peace and all of a sudden something occurs and boom, what do we call it? Going off the handle, going off the mouth. Okay, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he has loving care or safe keeping for you. So I have an ability with an anxiety or a distraction, something that's come into my life, into my mind, something that has just happened to me, but it says that I can see it, I can say it, and I can say, Lord, you have done something about it because I know that through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, you have loving care for me. And you want to help me in this. You see, I'm acknowledging what it is, but I'm acknowledging the one who has done something about it on my behalf. And I can go before him and acknowledge what he has done. Then it says here in the next verse, that's why we have to do it. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We have to be awake. We have to be on guard. On guard, why? Because your adversary, the devil. Like I said, the devil may not be there. Let me ask you this. Can the devil not be there, but be there? Now, you might think, oh, that sounds like an oxymoron. Well, hopefully it's more of an oxy than a moron. But like I said earlier, he doesn't have to be there, but if we have programming, because your adversary, the devil, he is like a lion, and he's roaming, and he's seeking, and he's just looking for an access point. If there's an old tape that can push play, where we've been taught something opposite from God, that's like the devil being there. And that thought or that thing that's going on is trying to devour what's going on. It's trying to make it a whole lot bigger than what it really is. In other words, it's trying to cause you to see it as larger than God. Trying to you to see it larger than God. Remember the children of Israel. Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. They were told from a promise that had given 400 or 500 years before through God through Abraham about the promised land and that God had given them that promised land. Okay? 400 plus years later, they were enslaved in Egypt. They had come out of Egypt, and they're now coming to the place, right getting ready to cross over to the land of promise, and 12 spies are sent out. What was the problem? What was the problem? The problem wasn't that God's word wasn't true. It was true. What they let go of, that God was greater than the obstacles that they saw. That's what they let go of. It was a land full of milk and honey. It was a land full of promise. It was exactly as God said it was. And the promises that we have been told about this land for hundreds of years, it's just as God has said. But we look like grasshoppers compared to the giants. But there are fortified cities there. But they have more people than we do. There was something that entered in. They acknowledged, yes, this is a promise of God. But the natural eye, the carnal reasoning, looked at the circumstance and situation as greater than God Almighty. And at times, that's what happens to us. Just a little bit of programming can get in there, and we could actually bring the very presence of the devil seeking about as a roaring lion, and that thought is trying to consume us. That trashed out thinking, or maybe something of our past that just would devastate us if we think about it, brings us to a place of utter defeat. And that's why the Word of God says here, it says, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me ask you this. Have you ever allowed a thought or a present circumstance to go on in your life where it just consumed you? You thought on it, it just brought you right down. I mean, okay? The word devour also means to consume. And how many of us, if we let our thoughts go, we can be consumed by, if negative thoughts, okay, negative thoughts, wrong thoughts, ungodliness, or ungodly ways about thinking of something. Well, you know, when you're diagnosed with this, this is what you get to look forward to. And if we allow that thought to become our present reality, then we will go along the lines of that. There's been certain things I've been resisting and standing on for almost 10 years now, and I continue to stand on it. God has a plan. God has something he's connecting me with and lining me up to. But let me say this, that during these past almost 10 years, I've had to have a greater reliance upon the Lord than ever before in my Christian walk with him. Sometimes when I'm standing up here, you wouldn't even know it because something's going on with inside my life, and I say, you know, Lord God, it's your people out there right now that you've got a truth that you need for them. What I'm presently experiencing, I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm saying that his reality is greater than my present realness. Did you hear what I said? His reality is more real than my present reality that I'm facing. So I decide to choose by faith a resistance movement, a resistance to what I may be presently feeling, a resistance maybe to the pain I'm in, a resistance that I'm having trouble putting two thoughts together. Well, guess what? If I'm having a problem putting two thoughts together, the Word of God says that I have the mind of Christ, so you're going to have to put the thoughts together, reveal them to me, and allow my mouth to speak them. See, that's walking by faith. That's this next verse here. Resist. What does it say? Resist him. Resist that thought. Resist that feeling. Too many times we submit to the wrong thing. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. I guarantee you, if by faith you'll begin choosing what God's word says, the present defective thought, the present depressive thought, the present wrong programming that is still operative within you that is not of God, if we take and choose, this is what God's word says, this is to be my thought on the matter, this is what God has to say on it, this is who he is, and I choose that, circumstances on the inside spiritually change. Spiritually change on the inside of me, okay? Things change. Nothing has changed physically, but everything's changed spiritually, and I have a faith walk now with Jesus Christ. Okay? I don't presently care for how at times it manifests, but I thank God for the fruit that he's bringing within my life. Amen? So I resist him steadfast in the faith, reminding myself, number one, of who God is. I wrote some things down during praise and worship. How many of us here believe that Jesus is our Savior? Do you know him as your Savior? Not just Savior from sin, Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, do you believe he can save you from it? Let's say, I remember one time we were driving, this is, most of you, if you've ever taken a road trip down to Miami years ago, there used to be a very dangerous road called Alligator Alley. Now it's a beautiful paved road. I mean, you can't even, hardly even get an accident if you really try. But back then it was a two-lane road. And I'm towing a car, towing a Volvo, bringing it up here to work on so I could have a second car. So Christine's sister had given us a car. And so we're towing it back. And then all of a sudden somebody's coming at us and they had fallen asleep at the wheel. And all of a sudden the person is ending up in our lane. What do you do? Do you brace? Can't really get out of the way because it's soft shoulder on both sides. I'm towing a vehicle and it was that fast. All I heard was my wife, Jesus! You talk about calling on Savior. You talk about calling on Deliverer. You talk about calling on Lord. All of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, this lady opens up her eyes and she just grabs the wheel and she does one of these flip, 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 flip over in the, it was all the grass was growing up and I was like, wow. And we pull over there and I jump out of the car. I run to the lady and there's a car, it's sideways. So the driver's, the steering wheel's down there and she's already standing up. Toward the passenger door. Are you okay? What about the car? I said, forget the car. Are you okay? It's a company car. Forget about the company car. Are you okay? So we had to get up on top and open up the door, and she was okay. You see, there are moments like that when we need to call on Jesus as Savior, Jesus as Lord. I mean, heaven is only going to be, heaven records all what we don't see here. We don't know if there was some big angel. We don't know. We have no idea. I just know that we were saved at that present moment. We were saved from a head-on collision. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because God's not through with us, and he wasn't through with that lady. And I did ask her after she got out of the car, I said, well, your company has insurance, right? Well, yes, but it's not going to look good on my record. Christine's mother always used to say this when it came to automobiles. It's just what? It's just tin, honey? Is that what she used to say? It's just tin or it's just metal. It can be replaced. So our focus should not be on the car. Our focus should be on people. Amen? Hallelujah. So I hope you all have enough coverage out there. If not, I guess you can Uber. Right, Alan? They can Uber? I'm not speaking that on anybody, but there are other means to get around. So, you know, I wrote down Savior. Do we really know him as Savior? Do we know him as the one who can deliver us out of a bad situation? Do we know him that as a provider, as one who wants to bring a provision within our life? Do we have an understanding that when something occurs and we're not seeing the provision, is there something that God is trying to teach us in? Is there something God is trying to train us in? Is there a process or a way of thinking coming forth from us that shows an otherness of Jesus because of the situation? I believe that the circumstances that we live in, how many of you know just living in this world, stuff breaks? Stuff happens, right? And because stuff happens, it gives us the opportunity to show us where we're at and where we need to be, right? Life is going to happen. But it also reveals where we're at spiritually and where we need to be spiritually. And if we'll learn, wait a second here, I don't like this. I don't like this happening. I don't like this going on. But what does God's word say that my view is to be about this at this moment? And choose to allow a kingdom view or a kingdom truth or a promise of God to come forth. Anybody can bicker and complain. Anybody can, right? But what would God have us do? What would God have us do? So you just need to ask yourself the question, what would the Lord have you do? Because doesn't it say that we also proclaim him as Lord? There's a scripture. It's either in Matthew 7 or Luke 6. It goes something along these lines. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I tell you to do? Indicating, if you really want me to be Lord, then you're going to follow the instructions that I give for you to live by. True? But there's a really cool verse that I really like, because it's in, that's the negative aspect of it. Let's hear the positive aspect of it, or the truth of it. It's in, this one is in Luke 6:40. A disciple, would you consider yourselves today disciples of Jesus Christ? A disciple is not above his teacher. We're never going to be above Jesus. Amen? None of you are ever going to grow spiritually to the point where you're going to tell Jesus what to do. When the Word of God said he's Lord of all, it's exactly what he means, and it's exactly he'll always be that way. But look what it goes on here to say. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Life itself is going to give us training in righteousness. And we can all tell how our training in righteousness is going when things take place in life. True? Is he not called the Prince of Peace? Do we ever lose our peace? Now, let me qualify that. I don't think we lose it. We just get away from it. See, it's part of the gift that God has given to us. It's part of the fruit or the evidence of the Holy Spirit within our life. The first one is love. The second one is joy. And the third one is peace. So peace is there, but we allow our mind, our thinking, or our feelings to get away from the spiritual reality of the new creation in Christ and get back to a carnal reality where we allow our peace to be disturbed. Now, he's called the Prince of Peace. Can I come back to a place? Can you come back to a place and get your peace back? Okay, you've heard me say this before. I love this passage, and you should love this passage also, because it starts out with a faith act. In Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord when? Now, some of us said always, and how many of you heard what I said and went, yeah, right. Always. When the bottom drops out, always. When a bad report comes, always. Okay? Now, we may be saying it now because we may not be in that always situation. Okay? But we need to remind ourselves that we can. We can rejoice or call the joy back to remembrance or call the joy of God or the presence of God or the person of God that dwells within us. Rejoice in the Lord always, in the Lord, from the place of being in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord, from the place of you knowing that Jesus is Lord, that he is in charge. Though devastated, though broken, though I don't know how it's going to work out, I can't even figure how it's going to work out, but he is still Lord over it. I can rejoice that he is Lord. He sees me, he knows me, he understands, and has a solution for me in the midst of tears coming out of my face. To be honest with you, the other day, I was thinking about some things, and tears were coming to my mind. And this is what God does. When tears are flowing from your face and you're thinking about a situation that you'd rather not be thinking about, immediately there was an abiding presence of the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. Now, at that moment, I'll just tell you what can happen. I can either let the tears continue to run, I can allow myself to stay in that state of grief, or I can move into the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I can move in and, oh, Lord God, I just thank you. You are here. You do understand what's taking place, Lord God. I just love you so much. And as I started doing that, immediately the tears dried up. The grief had to leave because there was a presence of the Spirit of God that brought a comfort of healing right then and there. See that? He's always faithful if we'll just be aware. You have to make yourself aware that if the situation you're finding yourself in, and I've said this before, you need to hear it real again. God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. But with the temptation, will provide a way of escape. What was my way of escape? There's this place where my body wanted to go into this deep mourning here, this grieving, and then all of a sudden God says, there isn't anything that happens to the human condition that is not also going to be experienced by another human being somewhere on this planet. But having said that, always remember the faithfulness of God, and we can look at the faithfulness of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And we can see the faithfulness of God that he sees me and he sees you. He knows me and he knows you. By me saying God is faithful, he will, even though it's momentary, he will reveal himself. He'll be right there. And at that moment that I sense him, at that moment, it could just be just like a whisper, just like, I don't have to be like this. I don't quite understand this, but there's something that is interrupting what I'm going through. And if I'll acknowledge him, if I'll just move or turn in that direction, he will give me a provision that I need at that time. He's there. A lot of times we're just not aware, of his presence trying to get our attention. We're just not aware, but he's there. Why? Because he's faithful. Why? Just, Pastor, how do you know that he's there? The Word of God says he's there. The Word of God says he's with you. The last verse of Matthew chapter 28, and lo, I'm with you till the end of this age. Are we still in the church age? He's with us as believers. He's with us. What about in what's it? Hebrews 13. Was it Hebrews 13? The first part of it talks about not being covetous. And the last part talks about what? Hebrews 13. Let me just read it to you. Probably going to find it faster than I am. Nope. Good. How many of you have switched completely over to electronic? One thing I want to tell you, electronic media versus printed media, when your battery runs out, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What in the world about God never leaving us or forsaking us have to do with the first part of verse 5 about covetousness? I mean, is there something wrong with what this writer is saying about not being covetous? It's talking about our current behavior, our current mode of thinking. And the word covet means to what? Desire to have, desire to possess. There is something going on within a person's life or within your life that the carnal side, if I only had, if they only would, there's a covetous attitude that is greater than the presence of God within a person's life. Have we not at times said, well, if they would have only done, or if they would have only said, in other words, there is a covetous desire that we have that if the situation didn't present itself as it presented itself, I wouldn't be like I am right now. And so there is a covetous, selfish, when you think of covetous, you have to think of selfishness. There's a selfish way of thinking that if this situation didn't happen the way it did happen, then I wouldn't be in this predicament right now. But the writer's just trying to say, we need to get our thoughts on where our thoughts need to be. It says, we need to remember, for he himself has said, what did he say? I will not leave you nor forsake you. I've got you. I've got you in this. I've got the solution. I've got an answer. Now, some of us would like, how many of you would like the solution or answer to come a whole lot faster than what it is right now? See, when we have certain truths, you know, deeply embedded within us, it gives us the ability to face what we're facing with grace, knowing that there's a favor, that there's a supply, there's an ability from God. It is going to come our way. It will come to us because God is faithful and he cannot deny himself. He will always be who he is. But if there is a place of unbelief, if there is a place of doubt, if there is a place where we acquiesce to the situation, it's almost like, not that we can tie God's hands, but it's almost like we do tie God's hands because he cannot operate in our life because of that situation we choose to embrace rather than than what God's word has to say. And I've done that, and I'll probably end up doing it again. But I find myself in that Philippians 4:4, wait a second. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, wait a second, moderation, let your moderation. What the heck is moderation? He wants me to be moderate? What does that mean? How about let your self-control be made known to all those around you? Let your self-control demonstrate, let people around you see where your faith is. The Lord is at hand. You see, at times we need to take our time with certain verses of God's word. I can rejoice. And Paul goes ahead and says it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation or let your self-control be made evident to yourself and those around you that the Lord is with you. The Lord is at hand. But then the next verse tells us what we're supposed to do with our anxiety, with our anxiousness, with our care, with our worry, whatever the situation is that we're facing. Be anxious, be stressed out about nothing. He says that we're to go to him in prayer, supplication, and giving of thanks. By the time I'm done talking to the Lord about it, there should have been a change within inside my life that I'm able with a thanksgiving heart to know that God's in control and that God's going to see me through it, that somehow he's going to respond. I may not know how he's going to respond, but the word of God says that he will respond, and a peace, there's a peace that should descend. There's a peace of God that I should be returning to. And where does it say that peace is going to be? Put up the next verse, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses what? Your stinking thinking. Surpasses all your understanding. All the thoughts that are going haywire and all the thoughts that are going wrong. It says there's a peace of God that will descend upon what? All understanding. You trying to figure out, you trying to, what's going on here? All that stuff, it says there's a peace that descends on it. Couldn't some of us just take a deep breath right now? Don't you just need to take a deep breath and just realize and acknowledge right now, you know, you're in charge, God. I don't know about you, I just took a deep breath. It's just something so beautiful in knowing that I can be one way, talk to God, be completely changed on the inside, and God's going to reward that spiritual change that has taken place inside of me and cause me to be in a place of peace in my thinking. Have all my thoughts calm down. Have all the negative things just settle down to a place. Wait a second, I've just talked to God about this. This is what the Word of God had to say. These are what the promises of God have to say. My thinking has now changed, and now I'm at a place of peace. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through what? Christ Jesus. Once again, it is letting you know, when you started out, rejoice in the Lord always, Jesus as Lord. You're going back to where the peace is coming from the Prince of Peace, the one who's in charge of you, the one who saved you, the one who made complete supply for your life in Christ Jesus. And then the next verse tells you what you need to do with all the other thoughts that begin. It tells you to think on these things, where to stay your mind, where to stay your thinking. Now, these are things that we can all do by faith. These are, you know, you, when you see, when the Apostle Paul writes certain things for you to do, these are faith actions that you do. Remember, it's not something to earn your salvation. That has already been merited or wrought in Jesus Christ. You're not doing this to earn or work for anything. You're doing this as the result of your salvation in Jesus Christ, that you choose to apply the word of God by faith, as it is stated here in verse 4 all the way down to verse 8, and to begin to say, you know what, you know, Lord God, you're going to help me by faith. These are the spiritual instructions that you've given to me through the Apostle Paul, first to the Philippian church and now to my life, what you want me to do about this. So by faith, I'm going to apply what your word has to say and expect for you to bring it to pass within my life. I'm already in favor with God. I'm already in right standing with God. I'm not doing this to get favor with God or to be in right standing. I've been given the gift of righteousness. I'm already in right standing. He's trying to show you, as a child of God that's in right standing with Jesus, how to keep that standing secure when everything else is in tilt. Amen? There's a river that flows from the throne of God. There's a river. There's a flow that God has for you to, yes, you might just need to get in the water, just get your feet wet at first. Lord, you got to teach me on this faith journey here. And, you know, I know what your word says, and there's an acknowledgement of that word, and you're getting in a little bit, and you're getting in a little bit more, and you're getting, you know what, Lord God, I have come to an understanding. I've come to a realization in this area. I'm saying you could probably got to do it for everything that you face. I've come to an understanding that you just want me to dive in, and you're going to move me. I'm going to flow where you want me to flow. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to know what you want me to know. I'm going to follow what you want me to do, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. I'm becoming more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm following the leading guiding of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that I just want to be in the flow of who he is, his person. I want to understand and know in a greater manner his presence that is within my life, that he will not forsake me, that he's with me always, so I can see the display of his power. We know a lot about his person. We know a lot about his power, and God's wanting to hone in his immediate presence within our lives. His immediate presence within our lives and the acknowledgement of his presence. You know, sometimes you just need to stop and think. Number one, you're not in charge. God, you know what kind of freeing place that is? That Jesus is in charge and you want to be under his charge or his leadership. In other words, indicating that he is Lord. Okay, Lord, what is it? We also call him king. If he's a king, then we are what? We are princes and princesses in his court. Okay, and he wants to teach us the ways of his kingdom. And the ways of his kingdom are not the ways of this world. We know that the scripture talks about the God of this world that is always trying to keep us earthly bound. And the word of God says that we are kings and priests unto our God. What's that? In Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 5, two different places in the book of Revelation that call you kings, lowercase k, and priests. Indicating Jesus is the king and Jesus is the high priest. And as king, he knows how your life can function from the kingdom of God or from the truths of God's word that he has for your life that's going to sometimes look silly. It's going to look completely opposite of the things that we live from in this world. He's going to show you some things. I want you to think this way, not like that. Oh, but that's the problem. That's, you know, do I deny this problem? If God has a truth that supersedes that problem that he wants you to grab hold of, I'm not denying that there's a situation going on within my body, but I am living to the acknowledgement of the truth. And the acknowledgement of the truth is greater than the symptom of my body. And I choose to live by the kingdom of God rule instead of the feeling rule. How many of you know? I'm not saying. How many of you know that pain can be a horrible thing? It can even be very debilitating at times. And there are times I got to lay down. There are times that things aren't going well. But at those moments, when I am laying down, I've got to recover myself in the strength of the Lord. I've got to rest fully in him. Now, in the beginning, there are times that I don't do it, and it's very evident that I'm not doing it exactly right. But having said that, once again, I know who the person is. I know your Lord. I know what you've done for me, Jesus. I know what the promises say. I need right now for you to come close. I need right now the tangibleness of yourself. And at times, like I said, it's just a whisper. It's just a knowing that God is right there. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I just look unto you right now. The word of God says you're the author and finisher of my faith. There's a thinking that's trying to take place with inside of me right now, Lord God, that's trying to lead me down a path that I shouldn't be going right now. But I lay here right now, or I sit here right now to the acknowledgement of who you are and the truth of who you are, and I listen to you, Father. And then I experience the presence of himself. Now you might say, well, what happened with the pain? It's still there. It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain that a presence of God, I call it, you've heard me say this before, I call it the secret place. There's a place that the Lord has taught me that I can go to by faith while something's still very tangible within my body. But there's a place I can enter into spiritually. It's almost like, I don't want to say I'm disassociated with my body. My body's still experiencing it, but my spirit isn't. And it's a place of rest while the body's in pain. Isn't that weird? Isn't that kind of even weird to say? But you might. But there is a walk like this that God can bring us on, can bring you through to an experienced reality of himself, even though the present circumstance hasn't changed. But it is changing. Look at that. Look at this arm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. No sticking it in my pocket. Hallelujah. So don't, if I have my hand in my pocket, was your arm hurting you? I'll stick it in my ear or something. I don't know. Do you believe that he's the surety? What does the word surety mean? Surety of the new covenant. Says in Hebrews that Jesus is a surety of the new covenant. Oh, do you know what that means? What does the word surety come from? Sure. It's a sure thing. Jesus Christ established a new covenant for us, a better covenant with better promises, and it's a sure thing. And Jesus, as high priest and Lord and King over this new covenant, wants to make it a sure thing within your life. Just a very easy way for me to say surety, or the one who promises to carry out the promise that he has promised. He says he will. And so he's the surety, or the one who's going to make sure. He will make sure, and he wants to bring that surety with inside your life, that he sees you, he knows you, and he has an answer for you, even though nothing has changed. I just love Jesus so much. Do you believe you're the sheep of his pasture? So Jesus is called, I believe in one place, he's called the bishop and overseer of our souls. I think in another place it says he's the chief shepherd. So if he's the bishop and overseer of our souls, and he's also referred to as the chief shepherd, and Jesus referred to himself in John chapter 10 as what? The good shepherd. So if Jesus is, Jesus is the overseer of my life. Jesus is the chief shepherd over my life. Jesus is not just a shepherd, not just an overseer of my life, but he's good. Jesus is good, and he has good lined up for me, and he's got good lined up for your life. Do you believe that, though? Do you see that? Do you believe that? That as Jesus is the good shepherd, the overseeing shepherd, the chief shepherd, and you're his sheep, that's a person I want to follow. How about you? Amen. It says, and he's, what is he saying? I think it's a John 10, 27. My sheep know my voice. In other words, you're going to be able to sense his presence. You're going to be able to sense his nearness. You're going to be able to sense his wooing. You're going to be able to sense him in the moment that you need to. But if we're not quickened or not even thinking of it, then you won't be looking for it. Acknowledge, Jesus, you are my good shepherd. You are my chief shepherd. You know, as me, your lamb right now, you know what I'm walking through. You know what I'm facing. And I know that as my chief shepherd and the good shepherd, you have made a provision for this within my life. And if you need to, you need to go find in the Word of God that provision and find all the places of that provision and saturate yourself in the provision of God's Word, who he is, what he says he would do on your behalf, and then allow the Holy Spirit to hone in all those things to your specific need. And that's where you become more aware of his presence in teaching you of what he wants you to grab hold of himself. Amen? Can you say there is a river? There is a river that flows from the throne of God that I dwell in. Here, I would like to just go to Revelation 22 and read you what it says about this river. It says, and he showed me a pure river, Revelation 22, verse 1. A pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Stop real quick. Does your Bible have a reference like my Bible does? I'm looking right down at the end of this verse, and there's a reference there that says John 7, 37 to 39. Remember Jesus on that last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stands up and he cries out loud, and he begins talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that's going to take place, because these verses talk about the Holy Spirit was not yet given then when Jesus said those words. But he says, out of your what? Out of your belly, out of your inner being shall what? Flow what? Rivers of living water. So the same river that flows from the throne of God. Let me ask you this. Can the Holy Spirit bring in a river that proceeds from the throne of God? See, I believe the phraseology here is used purposely as a river because it's so much. There's so much that God has that it's a whole. Sometimes if our carnal minds will think of a creek, a drip. God hears me. Drip, drip, drip. I know God hears me. I mean, he's more than a drip, everyone. He's more than a drip. And some of us, all we can see is, I've got a drip of word here. You know, just like my coffee, he's good to the last drip. I know we say drop, but he wants you to get river mentality, river minded, more than enough minded. He sees everything, he knows everything, and he's got so much more in answer for what you're going through that we can't, there's not even what? A scripture, room enough to contain it. Right? If we were to open the doors and a river is going down the street here and there's a river coming up here, if we, and you know, at times it's violent. Ooh, and it wipes out everything in its path. How many stuff within us need to be wiped out? How many stuff have we erected there? And the river comes in. And at times you feel like, I just feel like I'm being tossed upside down. God! Any earthly mooring, anything that I'm holding on to of myself, anything that has been brought into myself, that whether I brought it in, the devil brought it in, wrong thinking brought it in, wrong teaching brought it in, there's a river that flows that just wants to just mess it all up and then move it all out so it's clear and pure. And you know, I'm drinking really just purity of God right now. I'm just drinking from his word and what he has, not mixed with my flesh, not mixed with somebody else said, not mixed with anything but God, with Jesus pure. Some of us have mixture and God wants to get the mixture out. I tell you what, that river would knock anything else that's not pure. Amen? I just love this. Okay, I want to go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I have a marker in here, so I'll just go back real quick. Ezekiel 47. Verse 7. When I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are what? How many of you know its waters are healed? How many of you know that at times that the Word of God, when it refers to seas, is talking about people? That there's a flow from God from your life to people around you. How many of you know that God wants a pure truth, a pure promise, a pure revelation? Something that he has made known to you and you know it has come only from God, and that truth is going to impact people's lives. There, he wants it to get to the sea or to the multitudes or people who don't know it yet. And he wants that truth that you're embracing, that truth that you have of God that has made you clean and made you pure and transformed your life, he wants it to flow to where the sea is, and it talks about then those waters or those people shall be healed. Also, they'll come to a saving faith of Jesus. They'll want to know what you have. They'll want to be taught by you. There are things that our lives should be an attraction to others. Karen was mentioning this morning in prayer. Hope you don't mind me saying this, Karen. Karen, usually when she drives down the road from her house, that when she sees neighbors walking, or they'll wave at her and she'll wave at them, hi, hi, toot, toot. You know how you do sometimes with your neighbors, they know who you are. But she says she noticed something on Sunday mornings. When she drives by and waves, there's no waving back. There's almost like, didn't you say that some of them put their heads down? Their eyes look down. Now, why is it that Monday through Saturday they'll wave? And what is different about Sunday? She's going to church. How about Holy Spirit conviction? The Word of God tells us in John chapter 16, as I was thinking about that, that the Holy Spirit's going to do three things. He says that He sent into the world to what? Convict them, or it says it's going to convict them of their sin. So that they'll what? Believe on Jesus. It's going to convict them of righteousness. It's going to convict them of righteousness because Jesus is not in the grave anymore. It says that He's ascended to the Father, indicating that everyone can have a right standing with God. See, they're convicted of their sin because they're not righteous before God. And the very last thing says they'll convict them of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You mean to tell me just driving down the road and looking at a person and waving at them that there's going to be a conviction of sin, a conviction of righteousness, and a conviction of judgment? Yes, because that's what the Word of God says the Holy Spirit will do. See, you've got to embrace that. You have to embrace that God through you, His presence through you. Do you believe that God's presence is within you? Then why would it seem so fantastic or so strange that if you're driving down the road, that presence doesn't hit someone who's walking their dog? You know, at times when I'm driving the car, I got a vivid imagination. I said, I thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. I'm worshiping, I'm praising you here. I thank you, your presence just not covers me, but on both sides of this car, so all the cars going in my direction, the opposite direction. I just thank you, Father, that they don't even understand why they're being convicted right now. But if they've ever heard a scripture, if they've ever heard a passage, that the Holy Spirit would bring it to their remembrance, Lord God, and bring that conviction of sin so they can believe on Jesus Christ. Let them know that they're unrighteous and they can become righteous in Jesus. And let them know their final destiny without you, Lord Jesus. It is condemned without you, and it doesn't have to be that way. You might say, you drive down the road thinking that? Yes! Not all the time, but I do. Who are we to say how far out God's presence can go? We're the ones who limit God. I remember, where did I get this? Pastor Bill, I remember one time, I was walking with him at the hallway of the church in Clearwater. And we were walking by a room in which a person was waiting for him that they needed ministry. So the room that they were in, it was closed. The church office was here. And there was a little hallway in a bedroom, stairs that went upstairs, but there was like a little bedroom right there. And as Pastor Bill and I were walking by, he was saying, he goes, you know, there's somebody supposed to meet me. And he didn't know where it was. All of a sudden, ah! Well, I know where she's at now. Long story short, he said, I want you to come in. I want you to come in. And so I went in with him for the ministry, and he started asking her, why did you scream? What? Why? There's a wall there. She had no idea that Pastor Bill's there. There's a wall there. She's in the bedroom with a closed door. All of a sudden, I just felt the presence of God. It wasn't Pastor Bill's presence. It wasn't my presence. But it's the Spirit of God within us that convicted that girl on the other side. She was not in a right standing with God, and she screamed. Well, we ended up bringing her upstairs, and she had a demon. But what the Lord showed, this was such a huge learning experience for me. I'm really grateful when Pastor Bill would call us and pull you aside and say, come with me, I want to teach you something. And goes upstairs with this girl in another bedroom because he knew it was probably going to get loud. And he starts ministering to her. And then he just looks at me and says, she's in league with it. I'm trying, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what he was talking about. she's in league with it. I said, league with it, league. On the same baseball? I don't have any idea. I'm brand new in this stuff, you know. And he just looked at her. You are coming here to have a demon cast out of you that you don't want cast out of you. that you like this demon and you like the presence of this demon and you're just trying to make a show of what I'm going to do here right now by yelling and screaming. And all of a sudden, how did you know? She's mine and I've got her. She just got up and walked out. She just walked out. And I was like, ah, la, la, la. La, 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 la. I said, man, this demon stuff is really weird. You know, I'm brand new in this. And it's just like, whoa. He just looks at me, what'd you think about that? Oh, that's pretty strange. Well, sit down, let's talk about it. And the strange part was I saw her a month later at I got to be careful I say this. I don't want to use the man's name, but one of these people that used to hold prayer services, and the person was caught with the transmitter later on. In other words, they were transmitting, him and his wife were transmitting information. You didn't know it at the time of the service, but they were transmitting information through. Back then, how many of you know it wasn't the technology we have today? An FM transmitter. Somebody picked it up on their FM frequency in the car and heard them. You know how sometimes you go into meetings, you fill out a card, your name, and they'd made little notations on the card about what the person looked like. Oh, this is so-and-so, and they're reading the information off the card for them. Oh, you live at, and your name is, all from reading the information on a card. And there she was, lifting up her hands, worshiping the Lord, and to me, it was just one big fraudulent mess. And I just looked at John, and said, we're out of here, let's get out of here. I said, I don't want to listen to any more of this stuff. Here's this lady that's got a demon in her. She's worshiping, praising the Lord. I said, there's something not right here, and was made known a week or so later about the transmitter. See, God will give you discernment. See, there's a flow. And how many of you know that in that flow is discernment? And in that flow, that sometimes that discernment of God, you might say something like, that doesn't even seem right to do what we're doing here, just getting up and leaving in the middle of a meeting. It doesn't seem right, but when there's a flow and you know it's God and there's something not right, you follow what God says and get up and move. Amen? And so we follow the move of God. There's a flow that proceeds from the throne of God. And what does God want to do? Our lives, it's to heal us and then through us to impact others. Amen? So God, that flow out of our innermost being, the Holy Spirit first ministers to us. So we get washed and we get cleaned and we get thinking right, and we get the truth of what God has for our life so that our lives are impacted so it can flow forth from us in a very clean manner. And that's what he wants to do. Amen? And it goes on here to say, time's almost up. Where does the time go? Okay, enough. And it shall be, verse 9, that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will what? Will live, will become alive, will come back from a place of death. It's actually the word revive or quicken or to make alive. In some places in the Old Testament that this word also talks about to recover from sickness, to recover from disease, to be restored from something that would take or cause death to come in for life to be restored. And so we see here that this is what, isn't that what Jesus is all about? Isn't that what Jesus does? Did he not give us life when we were dead? Does he not come in and cause things the way that we think and view things to completely eradicate it, to give us a new way of living, a new way of life, a new way of thinking about things? And it says in verse, after that it says, there will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Who was some of the first disciples that Jesus chose? And when he said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, what did he tell them? Follow me, and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Everywhere you go, people are also called fish. And the gospel of Jesus Christ brings them into the gospel net of salvation. If they will hear what that gospel truth is in Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. This is what Jesus has for each person. And I'm going to close with this. Because this is what the river should do in all of our lives. In Psalm 46, it says this. Would we agree with this? That God, can you say, God is my refuge and strength? God is my refuge and strength. Go ahead and say it. God is my refuge and strength. God is a present. God is a right now help in my time of need. Isn't that just wonderful to know that, that God is a place where we get, that we can go for cover, that we can go for strength, and that He is right here, right now, to give us whatever help that we need at the moment we need it. Amen? And it goes on here to say, therefore, we shall not fear. As the result of knowing verse 1, therefore, we shall not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea. There is so much talk about what Iran's going to do. There's so much talk about bombs. There's so much talk about mountains being removed right now. There's so much talk about prophetic people talking about this could be the little spark that causes bombs to roar. You've heard me say this. One of the targets is right over here, Command Center MacDill Air Force Base. And I said, if a nuke goes there, I'll stand out on the road and go, take me home, Jesus. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to die. But if God wants me to remain, the blast will just go around me. Maybe He'll have me just jump in the tub. Jump in the bathtub right now. Okay, honey, let's go in the bathtub. He's a very present help in time of trouble. We have to realize that when it does talk about mountains be removed, it is talking about spiritual authorities. And how many of you know that the devil is angry, the devil's upset, and he's probably over there with Mr. Ayatollah Khomeini kicking him in the rear, do something, push the button, release the nukes, whatever it is that he's, you know. He cannot stand. He doesn't like America, and he doesn't like Israel, the devil. He doesn't like anybody that sides with Israel, that promotes Israel, or the well-being of the Jewish people. Any country at all. You have to realize that this battle is first spiritual. And then how many of you know that through prayer and supplication, we can bring down authorities? We can bring down powers and principalities, that we need to make sure that we have an understanding of spiritual warfare and engage spiritually the way that God would want us to engage, and let a pure river of God flow against principalities and powers as God would lead us to bring them down to their proper place. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And that means Mr. Ayatollah Khomeini. Okay? Do you believe like that? Do you pray like that? Do you pray 1 Timothy chapter 2? Do you pray for governments and leaders and people that are in place of authority over us? Are there prayers, supplications, and giving of thanks, intercessions, prayers, and giving of thanks being made? You should be a people of prayer. When I hear things going on, I pray. I stand in the gap. It may at times only be two or three sentences, but there's a two or three sentence that has gone out that is contrary to what the news says. How many of you know, if you're going to watch the news, don't sit there and just let it all in. If you hear something that's negative or contrary, speak it out or shut it off. Maybe better yet, shut it off. Okay, some of you don't want to do that, but that's okay. It says, though its mountains roar and be troubled, talking about enemy tribulating people to cause them to rise up and riot and just cause trouble everywhere, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Now listen here, that no matter what's going on spiritually, no matter what's going on within this world, no matter what you see the headlines say, there is a river. There is a river of peace. There is a river of faith. There is a river where Jesus Christ is Lord over. There is a truth that proceeds from the throne of God to establish your heart and to establish your mind, to establish your feelings, to establish what goes on the inside and what comes off out on the outside. There is a river whose streams, whose ways that it makes within you, shall what? Make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Each and every one of us, because of what Jesus Christ has done, we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to the very throne room of God. And it, you know, if you find yourself at times fearful, you find yourself, what is going on here? Nations have risen and nations have crumbled. It is, if you just look over any type of history, Rome basically conquered the world. The Vatican's there now. You know, they're no longer the world conquerors. Britain used to be known as barbarians, okay? The barbarians of the past became the civilized world, and they were the ones who went out there, and they had all these different countries that were part of the British Empire. Now, one by one, they've all fallen and gone back to their own country. So nations rise, they come to a place of prominence, they lose that place of prominence and just become a nation among nations. And so we have to realize that Jesus is in charge, and he knows how to exalt a nation, he knows how to humble a nation. Your thoughts have to be that no matter what's going on with you personally, there's a river that God has for your life. That no matter what's happening spiritually with the devil, there is a spiritual authority or river that God can show you where you can exercise authority over it. That no matter what's taking place on this planet, there's a river that you can partake of. It says that will make glad the city, the general population of the people of God. That no matter what's happening spiritually, no matter what's happening in this world, no matter what's happening to you, there is a river or a truth or something that God wants you to grab hold of that is greater than the thing that's facing your life. It could be a fear. God has something to trump that fear. Oh, I don't mean to say trump, but you know, okay. God has something to overcome that. You'll be surprised when people ask me, did you say that on purpose? No, I didn't say that on purpose. Okay? Believe you me, he doesn't trump anything that God doesn't allow him to trump, okay? He's still under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, every king and every ruler are still under the authority of Jesus Christ. Okay? So I want to leave here this morning with you having an understanding that there needs to be a greater encounter of the Lord's presence within your life this year so that you just don't know about his person, you just don't know about his power, but you can listen. That you can listen and hear the still small voice of God. And in hearing that still small voice, it just may be one word to you. But in the spiritual realm, it's a gushing river. And there's nothing that can stand in the way of one word of God spoken to you. One word of God that you need at that moment will annihilate anything that is trying to attack you or withstand you or trying to hold you back. Or trying to get you to grab a fear or a doubt instead of believing God. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Word of God that you've been taught over the years. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring things to your remembrance. Sometimes old things that you know to be made new and fresh for your life today. So Heavenly Father, I would just like to thank you right now. Your Word tells us that wherever your river flows, wherever your revelation flows, wherever the truth of yourself, Lord God, is made known, Lord God, it says it brings life. It says it heals, Lord. And there are people here that need some of that life. There are people here that need some of that healing, Lord God. There are people that need to be made right, Lord God, in some of their thinking. Some of their emotions are very raw. And some of their emotions, Lord God, and their feelings are in a place where they shouldn't be right now. There's even some ways that Satan has made in some people's thoughts, Lord God. The devil himself isn't there, but the thoughts or the teachings of him or of this world are still in operation, Lord God. And you want them to be able to see that they are not of you and to have a resistance to it, Lord God, by the acknowledgement of the truth, by acknowledgement of something that's greater than that thought that has come into their life, Lord God. It doesn't matter when it was planted there, where it was put, or how it was put there, that you have something, Lord God, to wipe it out completely within their lives. I thank you, Father, that this upcoming year will be a year of complete transformation, or I should say more of a transformation, more of a spiritual renewal of the mind and of the soul, Lord God, to be brought in its place of being submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, or we could say submitted to our spirit that is one with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we do not have to allow our mind, our will, our feelings, or our emotions that have been trained in an improper way to be in charge of us. We have declared with our mouth and we believe inside of our heart that Jesus is Lord and is Lord over all of my life. So everything that is not under the lordship of Jesus, we believe, Lord God, that it is by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is a river, and it says it makes glad.